Thank you, Jesus. We do praise you. Thank you for calling us, and thank you for filling us with the light so that we can be that city on a hill, so that we can illuminate the world just by walking through our day and representing you. Sometimes in ways we don't even realize it, you are just demonstrating your love through us. We are your vessels, and we thank you for using us. You be glorified, Jesus. We praise you in all things. We lift you up. We thank you that you are our Father, and you are a good Father. And we thank you that you love us. We are loved by you. In everything that we do today, in everything we do this week, in everything we do in our lives, let us just bring praise and glory to your name. We thank you, Jesus. We honor you. We honor you at this time because we're gathered together to hear your word. And so our hearts are open to receive as you reveal yourself to us through this, your word. And we praise you in advance for it. In your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Well, a couple of things. This coming Tuesday is Ed and Diane's anniversary, right? Congratulations. How many years is it? 36. We're just two behind you. We caught up. We were only one behind you until a week ago, but now we're 2 years behind you again. We're going to pray about that. And also, this Thursday, Lucas is going to be four years old? 4 years old. Friday. Pardon me? That's what we were talking about, the drive-in. Donna said, it seems like he was just born. 4 years old. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you for Lucas. We just speak the fullness of all your blessings, all of your joy upon him. And in the year to come, we just thank you and praise you that he just grows in his understanding, grows in his knowledge of you and your love, and you continue to show him, that you demonstrate, just through that precious, innocent heart, that you demonstrate your love and that people see the light of you through him. We thank you and praise you for him, that he is a joy to his parents, to his siblings, and to his grandparents. We praise you and thank you for that. We also just thank you and praise you for just the 36. Just for the 36 years of marriage with Ed and Diane. I thank you that in ways that they don't even realize, they have been a testimony just by the fact that for 36 years, they have represented that covenant of marriage and that people are changed by it. People see it. And it's a testimony to others. So we thank you and praise you for that. We just rejoice in them. We speak upon them in the year to come. Peace, safety, health, strength. Every good thing that you've already established and prepared for them in this year to come, we thank you that they walk into each one of those things and they don't miss a single blessing. We praise you and thank you for these things. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Does anybody else have a birthday or anything that I missed? Charlie. That's true. Charlie's enjoying his birthday, though, because Charlie is enjoying his, he's fishing this week. So Charlie is as happy as he can be. Lord, we just thank you for Charlie. Lord, I praise you for the man of God that he is. I thank you for the faith that Charlie lives. I thank you for his passion that he has for you and for your word. And so we speak just blessing on him. And on his year to come, we thank you and praise you that in Charlie's year, he has strength, he has health, he has life. That all the things he's been standing for and believing, that one by one he sees those things coming to pass in you. We praise you and thank you for that. In your name, Jesus. You be glorified through all of these people. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so for the last 2 weeks, we've spent the last 2 weeks looking at our call for that service that we have, for the call that we have to serve Jesus Christ. And we've been looking at that, and in the last 2 weeks, we've also seen that principle of noblesse oblige, that noble obligation that we have to serve Jesus Christ so that others would receive the bread of life that is in us. We've looked over the last 2 weeks, and we saw Jesus feed those 5,000, and he supernaturally multiplied that bread and that fish to feed the 5,000. And we also saw that that was foreshadowed for us in the Old Testament. It was foreshadowed through the example of Elijah, when Elijah multiplied the bread through God to feed the sons of the prophets. We also saw that in the Old Testament, that service, that supernatural multiplication was to benefit the servants of God. That supernatural multiplication fed the servants of God. But in the New Testament with Jesus Christ, we saw that it wasn't his servants, the disciples, who were the ones that were receiving the supernatural multiplication, but rather it was his servants, his disciples, who were distributing the supernatural multiplication to the masses, to the many. So these are the things that we've looked at in the last couple of weeks. Now, I want to take just a moment, and for just a moment, I want to look at the Old Testament example of Elijah that we've looked at so much in the last 2 weeks. In that Old Testament example with Elijah, if you remember, there was that bread that was supernaturally multiplied for the sons of the prophets. And that bread was multiplied through, or was brought by a man who came from Baal Shalisha. Now, we read that in 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to look at that. This is verses 42 and 43. We're just going to touch on this to refresh our memories. 2 Kings 4, chapter 42, verses 42 and 43. Then a man came from Baal Shalisha, and he brought the man of God bread, the bread of first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread, and newly ripened grain in a knapsack. And he said, "Give it to the people that they may eat." But his servant said, "What? Shall I set this before 100 men?" He said again, "Give it to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over." Now we also remember that to get to Shalisha, we saw this last week, to get to Shalisha, you have to pass through the land of double fruitfulness. You have to pass through the land of double grain. We also noted that this bread that the man from Shalisha brought, this was the bread of first fruits. And the first fruits, what you do with the first fruits determines what happens to all that follows. We are the first fruit harvest of Jesus Christ. We are the first fruit harvest. So we ought to give our very best in our service every day. It ought to be the number one priority before we think about ourselves, before we think about our responsibilities at work, before anything else. We ought to give our best in service to Jesus. Jesus has given each one of us so much. What's required of us is that we give the first fruits of self. Give the first fruits of self in service to Jesus Christ. That's what's required of us. Giving that first fruits, that service to Him. Because what we do with the first, that which He gives to us, the bread of life that's already in us, that which we do with the first determines what happens to everything else that follows. Now, we've spent a lot of time these last couple of weeks looking at all these different truths, but we've looked at it mostly through the lens of the Old Covenant and through that Old Covenant foreshadow of Jesus Christ. What I want to do this morning, I want to look at those things, but I want to look at it and focus closely on what we've just kind of touched on the last couple of weeks. I want to focus on Jesus feeding the 5,000 people. I want to focus on that feeding of the 5,000 that Jesus did, because what was expected of the disciples is the same thing that's expected of us. Just like them, we are expected to take the bread of life, and distribute it to those that are around us. So, let's refresh. We should know this pretty well by now. This is Mark chapter 6. We're going to read verses 35 through 44. Mark 6, verses 35 through 44. So when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go to the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." You know, Jesus wants us to know. He wants us to take account of what he's already invested in us. He wants us to be aware of all that's already poured into us. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. Remember that verse. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves, and he gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided amongst them all. So they all ate and were filled. And when they took up the 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish, now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men. So the disciples were aware that all of these people, this multitude, had been with Jesus all day long. The disciples were aware that these people were hungry. The disciples thought that they were being sensitive to the needs of the people. When they suggested to Jesus, when they told Jesus, send the people, send them into the surrounding towns and villages that they may get something to eat. Send them into the towns and villages. But the reality is, the truth is, we're talking about 20,000 people, at least 20,000 people. When you consider the men and the women who were there as well, there's like 20,000 people. There is no way that those surrounding towns and villages could ever possibly support that many people with food. It's easy for us in our lives, when we see the things that are before us, it's easy for us to look at situations and believe that it is beyond our abilities. We believe that it's beyond our abilities in service to Jesus Christ. When you look at a situation, when you're presented tomorrow with a situation where you can serve Him, but it looks like it's beyond the realm of your possibility, that is the exact moment that you are positioned to be able to see the supernatural take place. Jesus has called you and I. He's called you and I to distribute the bread of life, Jesus, and the Word. He's called us to do that. If we distribute the bread, He will multiply it. The duty is ours. The results are His. He will take care of it. He has invested in you all that you need to serve Him. He's already invested it in you. He just needs you and I to be willing servants that He can move through with power and with the miraculous. He just needs us to be those willing servants. Jesus doesn't want you to send away those people that are before you with seemingly impossible needs. He doesn't want you to send them away. He wants you to feed them the bread of life. All we have to do is be ready and willing to serve. He will do the supernatural. But it takes through us. Again, I say every single day of our lives, there are things that come up. There's opportunities for us to serve Him. There's not a day that goes by that there's not those opportunities that we have. Jesus said to the disciples the same thing that He says to you and I today. He said to the disciples, "You give them something to eat." He put the responsibility on the disciples. He's put the responsibility on you and I. We have the responsibility to take the bread of life that is in us. We have the responsibility. It's not enough just to empathize. When you see someone in need, it's not enough just to empathize with them. We have the responsibility to take what we have, to take what Jesus has already invested in us, the bread of life that we have, and those seeds, the seed of the Word of God. Every day, there's an opportunity. Every day, there's opportunities to serve. But how many times do we let those opportunities that come our way pass by? And how many times do we not even recognize them as the opportunities that are presented? Let me give you an example with myself. Just this past week, I was over at the Marathon station right across 25. And it was in the late afternoon, and I was just buying some water. So there's nobody in the store except for the guy behind the counter and me. And I'm at the counter making the purchase, and I hear the door open behind me. And I hear the voice of a young man say, now my back's still turned to him, he says, who owns the Honda convertible out there? And I thought, well, this can't be good. And so I turned around, and I'm looking, and I said, I do. And here's this young man. He's got baggy, oversized red shorts. He's no more than like 18, 19, 20. He's got this T-shirt with whatever the design was. It was lost on me. I have no idea how to describe it to you. And he had a red baseball cap on with those baseball caps with the brims that are straight. I don't get that at all. But so he had that look of an 18 or 19-year-old, and he had in his ears, he had those extenders, you know, to open up the holes in your earlobes. So he had earlobes that were already open like this big. So here's me in a sports coat and a nice shirt and pants, and here's this young guy who looks like a 17 or 18-year-old person who's a little bit rougher than I am. And so I said, yeah, that's mine. And he had this huge smile on his face, and he said, I love that car. Now, you have to understand, my car, it's a 14-year-old car. It's an old car, but it still looks good, and it's cool, and it's a convertible. And he starts talking to me about, he loves the S2000s, and he tells me when Honda stopped making them, and he tells me all the good things about the Honda S2000, and then he tells me he wanted one, but he couldn't find one, but he has a Honda Civic Si, and he told me all the things he did to get it ready and to make it cool, and he's telling me all these things and about mileage and all this stuff, and he's so excited, and I'm just acknowledging and saying yes. And then he got done. He said, hey, have a good day. And I said, thank you. You do the same. And I walked out and I got in my car. And again, it's just like a quarter of a mile. I'm at the traffic light right here. And the Holy Spirit said, why weren't you listening to me? Because he wanted me to say to that young man, hey, you want to take it for a drive? Because he would have been a captive audience. I mean, I would have had him for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. And we'd have started off talking about cars, but I guarantee you, we'd have been talking about Jesus Christ. And I thought, oh, there are so many opportunities that we have today, tomorrow. Don't miss those opportunities. Look for them, see them, and be aware. Now, a caveat, I'm not suggesting that if you're a woman, that you take a guy for a ride in your car. But what I'm saying is, look for those opportunities, because the Holy Spirit will tell you, yes, if I'm listening, you'll hear, yes, this is an opportunity for you to give the bread of life that I gave you, to give the seeds that I've put in you, and to plant them into the soil of that individual. I miss that opportunity, and it makes me wonder, how many opportunities do I miss on an ongoing basis? Now, I'm not trying to raise him up, but I want to give you the other example. Jim, just on the same day, Monday, it was this past Monday, Jim called me, and he asked about somebody that was here. It was a guest that we had, and he said, so tell me about that person. And so I did, and he said, look, I have a word that I wanted to give to her. Let me just tell you, Jim. See, Jim was obedient. Jim didn't know that person at all, but Jim had a word that he heard from the Holy Spirit to give to her. So he sent it to me, I sent it to her, and I want to tell you, I talked to her, and she said she had never had a word that was given to her before. She never had that before. And she was so touched and so amazed by that. And she said some of those words that were spoken, some of those words were the very words that she heard the Holy Spirit telling her and that she was speaking just even earlier in that week. And that's what I told her. I said, when you get a prophetic word, it is going to be, Jesus isn't going to tell Jim something about me before he tells me. He's going to tell me, and then he's going to speak a word prophetically. That's a confirmation to me. It's to help me know and understand that this is exactly what the Lord said. But see, he took advantage of the opportunity. That takes boldness. Now, I'm not trying to lift up Jim, but I'm just saying we all have those different opportunities in our life when you're going to feel like you're stepping out and you feel like you're making yourself vulnerable because what if I'm wrong? But see, I missed an opportunity with that young man. Now, I trust and I believe the Holy Spirit's going to give, I know he will. He'll give someone else. He'll send someone else in that young man's life. And I pray and believe that that person is going to be have ears that are unstopped and that that person will respond. But so many things that you don't even realize when you yourself have been obedient to serve Jesus, even in the things that you think are small and insignificant, you have no idea how it impacts those people. You have no idea. Had I not said something, Jim would never know how the difference in the impact and the opportunity it gave me to further share an explanation of spiritual things. So there's opportunities that we have every day in our lives. There's always opportunities. Don't miss those opportunities that we have to serve him. Now, on Monday, I missed that opportunity. Look, the man from Shalisha, he brought bread. And he brought the newly ripened grain. I had the bread of life in Jesus in me. I had the seed. I had the word of God already in me. But unlike the man from Shalisha, I kept it in my knapsack. See, what could Jesus have done at that moment? What could he have done? And what would he have done had I allowed that bread of life in me, that seed, to be distributed. That's what he wants. He wants us to distribute the bread of life and the seed that we have, to distribute it to those that are around us. This is the expectation that he has for us. Now, I want us to just take a few moments and consider. Go back to Jesus feeding the 5,000. And I want us to take note of the fact that Jesus prepared the hearts of the multitudes. He prepared their hearts to receive. Now, I read this a few minutes ago, but I'm going to show it to you again. This is Mark chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 39 and 40, but I'm going to show it to you in the Amplified Bible. And I want you to, as you read this, because the Amplified always gives such a deeper visual, I want you to actually visualize what's being said here. So this is Mark chapter 6, verses 39 and 40, Amplified Bible. Then he commanded the people all to recline on the green grass by companies. So they threw themselves down in ranks of hundreds and fifties, listen to this, with the regularity of an arrangement of beds of herbs, looking like so many garden plots. The people were seated with the regularity of an arrangement of beds of herbs. They were arranged like so many plots in a garden. That's an awesome, wonderful picture that we get. When we mindfully put ourselves in the position to serve other people, if you mindfully determine to serve others, Jesus will prepare the hearts of those people you're getting ready to serve so that they can receive. He will prepare their hearts. When the disciples were ready to not just be consumers of the word, consumers of the bread, but instead also be distributors of the bread, then Father God lined up all of those 20,000 people. He lined them up in rows like a garden. Why do we plow rows in our gardens? We plow rows so that the soil can receive the seed that we're going to put into it. This is what Jesus will do. If you are willing and ready to serve, Jesus will prepare the hearts of the people who you are getting ready to serve. He'll prepare their hearts so they can receive his seed through you. We don't have to worry about the supernatural results. All we have to do is just be willing to serve. Don't worry about the supernatural results of the seeds that you plant. You just have to be ready, be willing, and serve. And Jesus will prepare the hearts of the people to receive, like so many rows in a garden. He will have all of those hearts plowed and ready to receive the word that he's invested in you to distribute to them. This is what our duty is. This is what your duty is. He will take care of the supernatural results that will follow. Now let's go two verses down further. Still in Mark chapter 6, this is verses 41 and 42. And when he had taken up the five loaves and the two fish, Jesus, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the bread, and gave them to disciples to set before them. And the two fish he divided amongst them all, so they all ate and were filled. In your service to Jesus, there's going to be things that look to be impossible. Certainly for those disciples, it had to appear to be impossible to feed 20,000 people with five loaves of bread and two fish. But Jesus, in this same flesh that you and I are in, Jesus, facing what appeared to be impossible in the natural, Jesus showed us and taught us to look away from the world and to look to the kingdom of God. Now, when you look at that verse we had just looked at, when you see the word looked, when it says Jesus looked up, that word look in the Greek, that word means, literally, it means I look up. It means I recover my sight. I look up, I recover my sight. This is a determination. It is our determination. A determination to look up into the spiritual realm. And in so doing, we recover our spiritual sight. It's a determination to look away from the things of the natural world, which would tell you something is impossible. Jesus recovered his sight. And it says he recovered his sight because he looked up. Or in some versions it says he looked towards. Okay, so that word in the Greek for up or towards, that word means to penetrate into. You recover your spiritual sight. When you look into the spiritual realm, when you see the promises of the word in the spiritual realm, it's then that you're able to penetrate through this veil of the flesh. You can penetrate through that. Then you can see the greater truths and realities that are the ultimate truths and realities that are in the spiritual realm. It is when we choose to look, to penetrate beyond this veil of flesh, that's when we can see those greater truths and realities. We got to choose to look up. You know that word look? It also has this meaning. Here's the second part of the definition. Look also means to enter into the place and the time of purpose and results. Think about that for a second. To look, the deliberate action of looking away from the natural realm and looking into the spiritual realm to recover our sight, to look, that is when we pass through, we penetrate through this veil of the flesh and we enter into the time and the place of purpose and results. It is when Jesus recovered his sight, he looked into the heavenly realms. You recover your sight when you look. You recover your spiritual sight when you look into the heavenly realms. And then you enter into that place of his supernatural results. And it's when you've entered into, when you've penetrated through this veil of flesh, and you enter into that place, that time in that place of his supernatural results, that's also where you find his purpose for you in Jesus. On a daily basis. It's not a small thing when it says that Jesus, showing us the example he gave us, he looked, he recovered his sight, and he penetrated through the veil of the flesh, and he entered into. Jesus recovered his sight when he looked to the spiritual realm, and then Jesus entered into that time and that place of his Father's purpose and his Father's supernatural results. This is the example that he set for us. It's the example for us every day of our lives because there's going to be opportunities that you have today. There's going to be opportunities you have this week. Opportunities to serve him. Opportunities to share the bread of life. To share the seed that he has invested in each one of us. Each day, we are called by Jesus into service for him. Each day. We're called into service. And each day brings with it an opportunity to serve. Expect that he is going to accomplish his purpose through you, regardless of who you are and regardless of how you view yourself. Regardless of who you are, regardless of how you view yourself, expect Jesus to accomplish his purpose, his will, through us. I want to conclude this morning with a challenge, but also an example, an explanation, an example of that challenge. Expect, here's your challenge. Expect that when you serve Jesus, you're going to serve him with skills and abilities that you do not believe that you right now possess. Think about that. Expect that when you serve Jesus, he is going to give you. You're going to serve him with skills and abilities that you don't believe you possess right now. Because in that moment of distribution, in that moment when you are sharing the bread of life, in the moment that you are given that seed, in the moment when you are looking towards the spiritual realm, in that moment, expect and anticipate that he is going to give you Holy Spirit-filled creativity. Expect that he's going to give you Holy Spirit given intelligence and understanding. That means not your intelligence. It means his intelligence. Expect him to give intelligence that's beyond yours. If you feel like you're limited because of your intelligence, expect him to give you. When you serve him, expect him to give you Holy Spirit-filled intelligence. And not just the intelligence, the understanding that comes with it. There's a quote from a politician. He was kibitzing back and forth with a reporter who was challenging on something. And the politician said to him, "Well, I can explain it to you, but I can't comprehend it for you." You know what? That's the beauty of serving Jesus Christ. He's going to give us his intelligence, and he's going to give us the ability to understand and to comprehend it. What is beyond my ability to understand, to know, and to comprehend, he will give me. Expect to have that kind of skills given to us. Do you desire to do more in your service for Jesus? Listen, I think every one of us who serve Jesus Christ, deep down inside, we want to do more. We want to see him use us. We want to see people's lives changed and impacted. We want to be used to advance the kingdom of God. We want to see that there is value in the days, the hours, and the years that we spent here on this life. Do you want more of that? Then expect what few believers do. Believe that when you serve him, he is going to give you skills and abilities that you do not now possess, skills and abilities that are beyond you. He's going to give you skills and abilities. He's going to give you the creative ideas to serve him. And then he's going to give you skills and abilities that you do not now possess to fulfill those creative ideas that he's given you. He's going to give you skills and abilities, because he's already established them for you, skills and abilities beyond what you can right now think, dream, or imagine. This is what he has for us in our service to him. I've spent 3 weeks talking about serving the bread and talking about serving because this is such a dynamic part. It's a foundational part of who we are. And again, you're only going to get satisfaction. You are only going to feel contentment. You will only feel that certain kind of joy and peace when you know that you're being used to serve, when you're being used to impact and change someone else's life, when you know that Jesus is working and ministering through you. That's when we realize and know those things. Give your best in service to Jesus first. And when you give your best in service to Jesus first, when you make him the beginning of your day, "Jesus, I'm yours. Use me. I want to serve you." When you give him the best in service to him, he is going to use you. You're going to realize skills and abilities. You're going to realize creativity, talent, understanding, craftsmanship, and workmanship that you didn't know you had. Because he's going to invest them in you supernaturally. There is so much more. We limit ourselves because we limit ourselves to what we see ourselves as. We limit ourselves because we see what we can't do. If you just make the determination, if you willfully determine to serve him, expect, do what very few believers do, expect him to give you those gifts, skills, abilities, creativity. That's not you. It is him. And it will all then be to his glory. So that's the challenge. Now, here's the example. Does anybody remember who Bezalel was? I didn't think you would. Let's read about this. This is one of my characters that I love because he gives me so much hope for me. This is in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 35. We're going to read verses 30 through 35. You know, this being Father's Day, these little concepts, these are all true for us, you know, as fathers and mothers. If there's things that you think you just can't do or you can't achieve, if there's things that you think you're failing as a father or a mother, I don't care if your kids are grown up or not, same thing is true. If you just desire, put yourself, make the willful determination to serve him, he's going to give you skills and abilities in fatherhood and in motherhood beyond what are you, beyond what's yours. All right, Exodus chapter 35. And Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, from the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship." This is one talented guy. "And he has put in him the heart, the ability to teach him and Aholiab and the son of Ahizamak from the tribe of Dan. And he's filled them with the skill to do all the manner of work of the engraver, of the designer, the tapestry maker, of the blue and the purple and the scarlet thread and fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design every artistic works." Understand this passage in context. So the Israelites are in the wilderness. They have been set free from the bondage of slavery from Egypt. And God has instructed them to construct the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, so that God can meet with men. Now, to construct this, it requires people that are skilled in the craft of goldsmithing. It requires people who are skilled in being able to work with silver and in bronze. It requires people who are gifted in their abilities to cut jewels and to set them. He's looking for people that have skills, the best of the best, who can do woodwork, who can do artistic design, who can engrave, those that are exceptionally qualified and gifted in tapestry, in working with threads and coloring them, in making fine linens. He's looking for people that are skilled as weavers and in every other artistic endeavor that there is. But here's the problem. None of those skills exist in the people who came out of bondage from Egypt. They were slaves. They weren't artisans. They could make mud bricks all day long. They could make mud bricks. But that's not the artisan craftsmanship that's being required to build the tabernacle. God called Bezalel by name. Jesus is calling you by name. God called Bezalel by name. And God gave Bezalel the Spirit of God to do the work that was needed. Bezalel was not skilled. Do you feel like you're not skilled in life? Bezalel was not skilled. Bezalel was just a willing, obedient servant that God had called by name. God has called you by name to serve Him. Just be the willing, obedient servant. Because he was a willing, obedient servant, the Holy Spirit gave Bezalel the skill and the knowledge to be the best, to be the Michelangelo of everything that he put his hand to. Bezalel, he never worked with gold before, but he became the best worker of gold of anybody before or since. Because the creator of gold himself taught Bezalel to work with gold to glorify Jesus. Bezalel, he didn't have the skills himself. God gave him specifically those skills to do what was required. And that was true of every other artistic skill that Bezalel developed. And God enabled him to teach others all of those same specific skills. Give the first fruits. Give the first fruits of our service. Give the first fruits of self in service to Jesus Christ. And then watch. Watch and see what our abilities, what skills, what unknown skills that you have not yet even discovered, what unknown skills and abilities He will bring out in you. He'll develop in you simply because you are willing to serve Him. Now, let's conclude today with just a quick look once again, going back and considering Jesus as Jesus feeds those 5,000 people. Those people were hungry. And what they hungered for, Jesus set before them. but he set it before them through the work of his disciples. There's a world that is around you that is hungering for the Jesus Christ, for the bread of life, for the Jesus and the Word that is in you. They are hungering for that. Distribute the power, distribute the deliverance of Jesus Christ that is at work in you as his servant. Do the work of a servant, and Jesus will provide all the supernatural multiplication that needs to take place, regardless of who you are and regardless of how you view yourself. Because all that matters is, how does Jesus view you? Because he's got skills and abilities. He's got things for you to do. He has opportunities for each one of us today, tomorrow, every day. He just needs us to be those willing, obedient servants that he can move through with power. He can move through with the supernatural, with the miraculous. Now, I again thought this was a good day. This is 2 weeks in a row that we've done communion. But again, this is talking about serving. And it's talking about distributing the bread of life that is within us. So I want to remind you, last week we talked about how Jesus in the Gospels, it says that Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples. And then just a few verses later, it says that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. So in the Lord's Supper, we are drinking from the cup, which represents his blood, and we're eating the bread, which represents his body broken for us, and we're doing this in remembrance of him. Here's what I want us to do. We're going to break the bread. We're going to pray over it. And then as you guys come up and take the elements, I want you to go back to your seats. And while you're waiting for everyone else to serve themselves, just spend a few moments. Close your eyes. Think about what Jesus has done. It is because of that cup. It's because of the blood that he shed. Because of that shed blood, we now have relationship once again with Father God. And think about the bread. That is his body broken for us. Jesus is the bread. Just as Jesus is the Word, we are eating the Word of God. This is what I want us to do. Think about, close your eyes, and look into the spiritual realm. Let's recover our spiritual sight, so that we can penetrate through the veil of this flesh and be fully ready to be utilized in service to him. Close our eyes and recover our sight. And let him show you, let him demonstrate to you the harvest fields that he has already plowed and prepared, the hearts that he's making ready for the seed that he's given to each one of us and where we are called to plant that seed. And then think about those skills and let him show you the skills, the abilities, the things that you believe right now are beyond you, but that are skills and abilities that just like Bezalel, skills and abilities that he will give you to do the work that he has assigned you to do. Let's do what most believers never do. Let's expect those things as we sit with thankful hearts for who he is. Amen. So Jesus with his disciples, he broke the bread and he gave thanks. Lord, we thank you and praise you for who you are. We thank you for your shed blood. We thank you for your body broken. For we do this in remembrance of you, but we don't just remember it. We remember it with praise in our hearts, gratitude and thankfulness for your love demonstrated to us. And we also just know we're going to get a deeper understanding of what you've called us to, what you expect of us, what you've empowered us to do. For we want to be all that you've called us to be in our service to you, to represent you and to glorify you in all things. In your name, Jesus. Amen.